Driver's Ed classroom sessions are Monday and Wednesday evenings, 7 to 9 in the high school. Room number posted on the front door. Classroom session continues through April 27th. Behind the wheel training will begin Saturday, April 30th. Registration available at the high school office, and more information with Hoopy at 772-4970. Petersburg Boy Scout meets each Monday night in the basement of the Moose Lodge, and they start at 7 p.m. And the Mitkoff Island Alcoholics Anonymous has a men's meeting at 8 p.m. at the Lutheran Church, women's meeting at 7 p.m. at the Presbyterian Church. More information at 518-0061. Fish Radio's next, and we'll be right back with Borough Business, our call-in show, and talk about tonight's Borough Assembly agenda.
Underwriting support comes from Miele Gallery and Framing, a framing studio and art gallery with one-of-a-kind handmade jewelry, ceramics, and artwork, and more. Also offering gift certificates for fail-proofed gift ideas. Miele Gallery and Framing, open Monday through Saturday.
This is Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Eating trends favor fish, but Americans are not eating enough. More after this.
Did you know that Alaska Seafood is the second most recognized brand name in the U.S.? Learn more about the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute at alaskaseafood.org.
Eating trends show some big pluses for wild seafood, but will that make Americans eat more of it? According to the NPD Group, an international market tracker, the top trend is that consumers want to know where their foods come from. The group credits seafood for improved traceability and local sourcing and says that will continue to boost sales. Good fats also are in. People now know that some fats are healthy, such as those found in eggs, avocados, and seafood. NPD said consumers are seeking non-genetically modified foods in droves. That will benefit wild seafood, as people are demanding natural foods with fewer additives of anything, let alone genes. Along that line, people want foods with real ingredients and will be reading labels like never before. Healthy and light entrees are expected to grow at a faster rate through 2018, another opportunity for seafood. Technomic, another top market research firm, lists trash to treasure fish as its number three seafood trend, as more restaurants serve up bycatch and lesser known fish. Both market watchers said more people are cooking fish at home. Maybe that will boost consumption, which has stalled at under 15 pounds a year per American.
They know seafood is good for them. The hurdles come from knowing how to buy it, how to cook it, and really understand the different varieties of seafood that they can include in their diet.
Linda Cornish is director of the nonprofit Seafood Nutrition Partnership. A study last year by the USDA showed only 1 in 10 Americans follow U.S. dietary guidelines to eat seafood at least twice a week. Gunnar Knapp will talk seafood market trends this month at Comfish, comfishalaska.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by Ocean Beauty Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
And in Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki for the KFSK News Department. I'm joined in the studio today by Borough Assemblymember Bob Lynn and Vice Mayor Cindy Lagadakis. Thank you both for coming in today. Cindy, you'll be running the meeting tonight.
Because, I will attempt to do that.
Mayor Mark Jensen is out of town, but maybe calling in, it sounds like.
We're hoping, okay. Yes.
And you do have enough assembly members to run a meeting and... All right.
We should.
We have a full agenda to talk about, lots of things to mention, and a reminder to listeners, you're welcome to call in with a question at 772-3808, and we'll put you on the air. You can ask a question or make a comment. First off, let's dive right in. The Borough Comprehensive Plan is in third and final reading, and you had a vote last meeting about adding some language in there about having a vote of affected residents for any land use law outside the old city limits. Since then, borough staff has talked to the attorney about what would fly, and they've come back with some recommendations. Cindy or Bob, any feelings on what the attorney has said and what you'd like to see?
Well, I'll let Bob go first.
Okay.
We are of different minds on how we approach this.
All right.
Yeah, well, There was 2 points that the borough attorney told us. One of them is that I needed to be more specific, and it needs to read specifically to residents only that would vote. And that he was correct, and that's what I'd intended. And that's an easy fix for that part of it. The second part gets a little more complicated, and that second part was the borough, the attorney says, is that depending on how we did that, we'd have to look at redistricting and doing some things. And when we looked at the charter originally, redistricting was a real problem because every time that you had a new census, you had to redistrict the area. And there were so few people outside of town that if you did that, you know, with six people here, for instance, you would have to redistrict even in town, you know, around. So it really wasn't feasible. And so the attorney's suggestion to us was to come back and just ask for a survey of those people out there, and that's reasonable in my mind. And I'll probably make a motion to that effect.
And Cindy, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I my personal feeling is we already have mechanisms in place to take public input and to accommodate what people think and feel about zoning in their area. We allow them to participate in planning and zoning hearings, and then we also have hearings before we consider an ordinance at a borough assembly meeting, and certainly they can call into a show like this or send an email or come in to talk to an assembly member or the borough manager at any time with their concerns. So that's part of it. When we adopted the borough charter, we also outlined what would and would not happen within and without the service area 1 boundaries. And one of the things that we said we would not do is impose zoning. And I feel that if at some point the out of service area 1 folks wanted to form a service area in whole or in part of that remaining area at that time, if they chose to adopt some zoning ordinances, that would be the appropriate point. The comprehensive plan is just sort of a roadmap of where we think we want to go as a borough and doesn't really hold anybody's feet to the fire. My concern about a survey or a vote is that it's an extra expense, and then it puts the burden on the borough clerk to cherry pick the names as to who it applies to and who it doesn't, and I think there are other mechanisms to make that happen without costing money. And I was very concerned about the advisory vote because I felt people would feel that they would think that was their time to have their say, and yet something else might happen, and then we set up a conflict situation where I'd rather do it at a hearing where we were able to talk some things out and explain if we were going to go in a direction other than what people were saying they wanted, that we could at least explore those issues and flesh it out a little bit more.
You are voting on the comprehensive plan. As you mentioned, it doesn't actually approve zoning with this vote. It does have a land use map that basically says what's out there currently. And I think that's some part of the concern from outlying residents about having that land use map even in place, because that's basically the first step to what could be zoning in the future. The other thing the plan does recommend is extending subdivision authority eventually to outlying areas. Is that in the works? Is that going to happen tomorrow if you approve this comprehensive plan tonight?
I don't think it's going to happen tomorrow. I think some of the subdivision concern was because of some of the things that have happened with, for example, Alaska Mental Health Lands, where they platted things and didn't leave easements and access ability to properties.
The concern with the staff is that some of the lots that the Mental Health Trust and some of the other folks had are so small, half acre or less, that you can't reasonably put a septic system on.
That's correct.
And that you can't provide electricity to those because you don't have enough right-of-ways or anything else. And so they're really not feasible lots. Probably a case and example is the lots that were recently sold there at Papke's at Mental Health. And that's one place where the staff would really like to go is mm-hmm. to see subdivision zoning. The question is you know, at what size, you know, how many, et cetera, et cetera. That's, and then what kind of restrictions you're going to put on it and so forth, and then that gets to be the controversy that just, you know, got to be addressed.
Yeah, I've heard nothing from anyone at the borough that would give me an idea that they had any grand plan to drive something in outside the borough areas. We're just trying to look at, as we develop over time, what would be a logical progression. And honestly, given the current budget scenario for the state, I'm not sure how much development is going to be going on. I hate to say that, but we are definitely in a tough spot for the next few years.
And as I'm thinking it through, too, the voting would get a little tricky because people who own land outside the old city limits but live inside the mm-hmm. city limits and vice versa, I think, all right? I mean, yeah, it'd be hard to determine right. where a person is.
No, not necessarily. No.
No?
I've already checked that out.
Okay.
No, not necessarily, because those records were kept when we formed a borough, and we already have those records on hand. So, whether you're in or outside, if you own property outside, you're a resident, and you'd still get a chance to vote on it. I mean, it's not a...
But how would you be a resident of two areas?
As long as you're a property owner. If you're a property owner outside and you're a resident of Alaska, then you'd have a chance to...
Fair to only give a vote to property owners?
Well, because you have to be resident of Alaska to be able to vote in our elections anyhow, you know. That, mm-hmm. So it doesn't really matter. And that was a concern of the attorney. That was part of a one concern. And I have to go back is that if you talked about a survey, there's not a big cost mm-hmm. to that, sending out a bunch of letters and, you know, asking people what they feel. And I think that's more reasonable. I believe strongly that there was promises made when we formed a charter, when we formed a borough, and it was promises both were made publicly and are in the response to the people's comments that I think we need to follow through. And about 2 years ago, if you remember, we went through a 6-week session, I believe, asking people, we were trying to document or benchmark essentially the services provided outside. And nobody came forward and said they wanted anything else, you know, mm-hmm. at the time. So anyhow,
well, no,
that's...
they did talk about ambulance yeah. services and fire services.
You're
there
right.
was a lot
you're
of
right
conversation
on that one.
About
but,
that.
But not planning and zoning.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Anyhow, it's probably time to move on from that subject because I think we'd agree to disagree.
How about this? Are you going to approve the comprehensive plan tonight in third reading?
I hope so.
Yeah. And Bob?
I don't know.
Because there might only be, what, four assembly members there.
Yeah,
so.
That's correct. I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yet to be determined.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, there's lots of other topics on tonight's agenda and a number of contracts for construction work. Perhaps the biggest is the drive-down dock contract, $1.3 million to do that work, and most of it is covered by what's left over from that state grant.
That's correct.
Any concern with awarding that contract?
There's $1.2 million that's left over from the other, so to apply to it. There's also on here, you'll see later on, for an inspection, I think it's $117,000. But there's no money in here for contingency either that we need to look at or at least talk about. And so if you put all those together, you're probably looking at maybe $1.6 million plus, or let's say $1.5 million plus. And so you're really going to have to add to it from the enterprise fund of about $400,000 to get this done, plus or minus.
Yeah, the Harbor Department reserves will pick up the remainder.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, that's the intention.
Okay. All right. Do you think you'll be voting for that?
I plan on voting for it.
Okay.
Yes.
I have a bunch of questions yet about whether we can delay some of it, and so I want to go through that. And then the other part of that is that I've got questions about the contract too, is whether or not we have the delay in the contract such that you could go back and at a later time and add two for like we do on the municipal building. So anyhow, I've got questions.
That was bid with alternatives like the municipal building.
That's
those,
correct.
There were add-ons
mm-hmm. yeah.
that could be taken off or not contracted for,
right,
that kind
correct.
Of thing. All right. There's also a communications tower. This would basically help the police and fire talk to each other better,
mm-hmm.
basically. $70,000. Any concern with awarding that?
There's $65,000, I believe, in a grant that we've already received, and we'd have to add about $5,000 to it that I think that's coming from a contingency that they have. And so I don't see a big problem with it. The tower's needed.
Okay.
And that's not something I've heard a big controversy about.
Okay. And how about the sewer line work? Any controversy there? That's work that has to get done if the sewer system's going to work?
Yeah. Yeah, we had approved part of that earlier, you know, to go for a much bigger loan than what was being asked for here. And it's to tie the pump stations. There's a pump station there by South Harbor, then there's a pump station out there by Ace Electric in there. And it's this whole project is to tie that whole system together and then to replace a new line with what's there right now. And it's a very needed project. And actually, I think it's come in a little bit lower than what we anticipated. So, I think it's a going project. And they had raised the rates, the bank, 3 or 4 years ago, I believe, in order to accommodate this. So,
they'll be repaying that loan with that.
Yeah, and it really isn't the loan itself. We got a grant for the majority of it. What we're going to have to do is go for a loan I think it's $180,000, I believe, here. And so at any rate, it's really not all that much. And as I say, that's to be paid for back out of the money that was collected when they raised the rates. So I think it's a pretty good project.
Is that work going to go on, assuming you award it, that's going to go on this year with the further construction on the road there on South Norwalk?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think Carl has been good about trying to tie in with other projects that are going on to save mobilization costs and disruption to people, too.
Right.
Okay. Moving on through topics, dogs and fines for people who don't take care of their dogs or keep them on the leash well enough. Cindy, you had some thoughts about service dogs and the language in this proposed ordinance.
Any new
information about that or definitions?
We've changed the language a little bit. Because I had worked a little bit with the American with Disabilities Act before, I did go and look at it when this first came up, and the ordinance had said that required certification and licensing, and those things actually don't really exist. It seems logical that there would be some standard across the United States, however, there is not. So we changed the language a little bit so that it fits better with what the existing regulation and our intent is, and I think I think that's workable.
Okay. Bob, any thoughts on the dog ordinance or fines?
I had concerns about when you get a license and whether or not you had to present any kind of certificate to show that your dogs had been vaccinated for rabies, mm-hmm. et cetera, and that's been fixed, as Cindy said.
Yeah.
Okay.
Judging from the number of I saw a dog down on such and such a place on Facebook, I think that some of these ordinances are well worth their time.
Okay. Also up for discussion and vote is sales tax free days. You might be voting on two this year. Sometimes you vote one in the spring and one in the fall. You vote later, but you're going to vote on having them both at the same time, one in May 7th and one October 8th.
The chamber has requested that we once again do the tax-free days. I asked the finance director of the assembly or of the borough approximately how much we think we forego in taxes each year, and it's about $13,000 on one of the days and about $8,000 on the other total. I have mixed feelings about it. I know that the merchants say that it's some of their biggest days of the year as far as purchasing goes, but I can't tell whether that shifts buying or it encourages new buying. And I just in this current budget climate, I have some concerns about foregoing that revenue. But if folks have thoughts about that, they're welcome to come to the meeting and speak to that.
Bob, any concerns about sales tax free days?
No, my only question was whether we were in those days were at the same weekend that there was another event planned or the same time, and I don't know the answer to my question, but if somebody we can repeat those dates. And
I'm sure there is an event. There's an event
every
weekend.
Just out of curiosity, if I can ask Bob a question, what would be your preference? That be along with another event?
No,
or no?
I'm trying to avoid the events.
and not have conflict. There's a lot going on in this town. So, well, speaking of the budget, you have the first reading of the actual budget document tonight. You've already heard from community service groups and about the funding requests from KFSK and other nonprofits in town, but you actually start the first of three votes on the actual budget document tonight. Overall picture, budget picture for the borough right now, does it look okay given what the state's going through? What's the status of Petersburg's budget?
You asked a very good question here.
I think in the short term, we look pretty whole.
But I got really strong concerns. I'm sure Cindy does, too, about looking, you know, 3 to 5 years out. If everything would get touched as the state now wants to do it, we're in trouble in about 3 to 5 years, depending on how serious this gets. And so what do we do to take care of ourselves, you know, so that we don't have any big glitch, so to speak, down the road? That's kind of my bottom line.
I mean, even as an assembly member, I definitely take pause. We've voted for a lot of big ticket projects in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
My feeling is this is our last opportunity. I've heard the mayor say the same thing, to really take care of these issues, because we don't anticipate that we'll get additional funding for some of these things in the near horizon. So rather than waiting till we get to a crisis point, now's the time to strike.
Yep, and the borough budget is down from last year about 1% what they have in this fiscal year that we're dealing with. So it's not increasing, at all. And I'd really like to see it go down farther if we can do that. And I know that city manager's looking at that and looking at ways to cut costs.
Well, we're not filling some positions, and there are some other things that they're doing to try and reduce costs.
Yeah. And I agree with Cindy, is that this is our last big push for projects. We have a chance to do a little bit more out of some of a couple of the enterprise funds, where we got to do some work on water treatment and a few things like that, but not big pushes like we're in right now.
The other thing that people don't think about or may not think about is when we have these construction projects going on in town, we're increasing our, people are renting places to stay, people are buying food, they're buying other discretionary income things. So it does bring some revenue to the community, as well as us having to pay out to have these things happen. So there's definitely some pluses there.
Speaking of big construction, you guys approved the municipal building and police station renovation. That could be getting underway as soon as the end of April. So you might have just a couple more meetings up at the Borough Assembly Chambers, right? You're going to be moving up the hill?
Well, that depends on some of the hardware, software, I think, that we're working with KFSK to get installed so that we can accommodate that.
Yeah. And they're in the process of moving, and so there's on the agenda tonight is a proposal to drop the second meeting in April.
Okay, and back to the budget issue, too. I can imagine you would be revisiting whatever spending plan you approve in the next month or two after the legislature comes up with its decisions, too.
I think we'll probably have to.
Jody's
done some, tried to do some contingency planning,
right? Mm-hmm.
And we're hoping we're in a good position, but right now all bets are off.
Yeah, it depends on the size of the cuts, and yes, there has been some contingency work done, and some pretty good work, I think. But it just depends on how big the cuts are and how quick. That's going to be the key.
Well, and it's not even the cuts; it's the other consequences of things. For example, the senior property tax exemption. If that gets shifted to municipalities, it changes how the state, if it's taken out of the state constitution as a mandatory for us, then it becomes an optional tax. And it changes the calculation for school funding contributions, which will hit us even harder. So there are some things that on the surface don't look like they affect us down the line, but they could be a double or triple whammy, and those kinds of things are really going to be hard to account for until they actually happen.
Yeah. Case in point would be that secure rules funding that we receive, is that we've got notice that we're going to take, I think it's about a $400,000 hit on that, and that's because of formula changes. It gets a little more complicated than that, but on the boroughs that have a little bit more than others, what they've done is they've decided to cut those harder at the national level, and so that's one also we're going to have to, we know that's going to hit us. So.
Okay. Lots of moving pieces, and the hearing for the budget is not till next meeting, the second reading. So, all right. And if you don't have a second meeting in April, it could be put off till May before you approve this anyway, no? Or
that's a possibility.
Okay.
But if folks have thoughts, certainly, you know, they're welcome to email anytime.
Right. Okay. All right. Am I missing anything important from tonight's meeting?
I think we've covered quite a few items.
Okay.
The only other thing that's on is the proposal for a request for the radio system for the new municipal building.
Correct.
And that's up for on the agenda for tonight to see whether or not we'll go out with a request for people to take a look at what kind of equipment they provide and what they do.
And there's also construction administration for the police station municipal building.
That's
you
correct.
Have to decide which direction to go in. Any thoughts on that? Hire an on-site administrator, kind of like you had with Fire Hall and the library?
Yeah. I can't speak for anybody else, but I'm very strong that we need it. Because this is not just a normal project. It's built into phases. Not only that, but you're going all the way from the foundation and you're changing all the wiring, you're changing everything here, the electronics,
heating,
the whole, the heating system, the roof. And so I'm very strong that we need a on-site administrator.
I agree.
And the architect has to play a pretty big role in that too, because they've come up with the plan to renovate that building, right?
That's
they know what's there and what has to be pulled out and what can
right.
stay, right?
So. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, 6 o'clock tonight, you can hear the Borough Assembly meeting. Thank you, Cindy and Bob, for coming in today. And we'll hear more from you tonight. Coming up next, we have Street Beat Music with Chuck Rose, your host.